Welcome to the Network Marketing Heroes Podcast, hosted by 40-year network marketing veteran, author of best-selling books, The 4-Year Career, and Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, and world-renowned speaker, Richard Bliss Brook. When it comes to success in network marketing, who better to learn from than leaders who have actually done it? Listen as Richard interviews top leaders and gives you a behind-the-scenes look at how they did it. You'll get incredible tips and duplicable actions you can do right now to build your own 4-year career. Stay tuned after this episode for an exclusive discount code to get 10% off Richard's easy-to-use tools that will help propel your network marketing business to the next level at blissbusiness.com.
Hey, everybody, Richard Brook here. Good morning from Lanai, Hawaii and Charleston, South Carolina. We got Hero Call number 92. And we have a super special guest for Hero Call number 92, Laura Evans, who is in Isle of Palm in Charleston, South Carolina. Laura is a super, as you will hear, super successful Shackley distributor with a fascinating background and entree into being a top Shackley distributor. We're going to get into that. But first, let me give you our traditional disclaimer. So on the Hero Calls, we introduce heroes. We introduce the one out of 10,000 people, or maybe one out of 50,000 people. We introduce the exception to the exception. We introduce and interview the unicorns, if you will. And why is that? Is that because we want you to assume that you will accomplish what any one of these heroes have accomplished? And the answer to that is no. We do not assume that you will accomplish what they have accomplished. It's possible for sure, but the odds are like what? Well, they're like one out of 10,000 or maybe one out of 20,000. So we want to be clear about that, that everything we're going to talk about here in terms of how many people Laura has enrolled, how big her business is, how long it took her to do it. We're not going to talk about how much money she makes, but you can just figure that out from the size of her team. But we're sharing all of that to inspire you and convince you that whatever it is you want to do, that you can do that. And, you know, probably your goals are not as lofty as Laura's are or were. Probably you would be super, super happy with an extra $1,000 a month or $2,500 a month, providing you could build it up into being asset income. And you could count on it coming in every month for the rest of your life, right? Probably be really, really happy with that because you can invest that and really take care of your financial security. But whatever it is you want to do, $500 a month, $5,000 a month, you know, donate to charities, travel the world, meet a phenomenal community of people. The purpose of the Hero Calls and the people that we choose to interview is such that whatever it is you want to do, we're here to inspire you to do it. And even though the odds are against you in terms of like odds, you're not against you. You're for you. We're for you. And we know that you can do it. And so what you can do by studying these Hero Calls is learn what were the attitudes and beliefs, not so much the strategies, because everybody uses a different strategy. Use whatever strategy works for you, is authentic for you. But pay attention to how people saw the opportunity, how people see the world, their attitudes and their philosophies and their motivations and the way they move with people. Pay attention to that. Model those things. Use whatever strategies work for you, and you can build whatever you want to build. So welcome to Hero Call number 92, Laura Evans. Are you here?
Yes, I am. I'm here, Richard.
Thank you. There she is. Look at how beautiful it is at Isle of Palms in Charleston.
Yes, it is. Indeed. It's a lovely place to live. It's our dream place to live.
How long have you been there?
Well, we've lived full-time here for about 3 years now. We've owned the property for, I guess, maybe 8 years.
Beautiful. So you are living the dream and working from your dream. Like, you just went ahead and moved to paradise and then figure out how to do the rest of your life from paradise.
Yes. And it is so much easier with my own business versus being tied to corporate America.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because that's the great fascinating thing about your story. So you were a high-level executive for J. Crew and Disney, and then you got involved in corporate America with network marketing with Princess House and Excel, which was a billion-dollar company. And then for 10 years, you were the president of North American sales for Shaklee. And you are a master coordinator with Shaklee. Yes. So what's that all about? How did that happen? Tell us the story of your corporate background. Like, who were you before network marketing?
Well, I in college, I began working for J. Crew when J. Crew was building a brand. At that time, they were just like a 10-page catalog with a dream, no stores. And it was a wonderful, immersive experience to be involved in this fast-paced, growing brand, the catalog business, stores opening up. And so I did a little bit of everything to help them get off the ground and get running. And it was great to be part of that, which led me to Walt Disney Company for Disney Consumer Products. They needed some help with their catalog and their retail business, and they were looking for folks like me who had experience in it. And I loved doing what I was doing, building a brand, building teams, leading teams. I really enjoyed that. And then I got introduced to some companies that were building it not through traditional marketing, but through network marketing.
But how did you get introduced to network marketing back then? So you're working for Disney, and then you end up being introduced to Princess House. How did that happen?
I had my very, very first experience of introduction to network marketing when I was in college. I was using beauty control products and enjoyed them. And my hairstylist asked me if I would like to save money on my products and share them with others. And I said, well, sure, why not? So I became, Color Me Beautiful certified, where you could, help people wear the right colors and the right shades of lipstick and so forth. And I just really did it as a hobby for fun and never intended for it to be a business for me, but I enjoyed it. And that was my first very positive experience, and I continued carrying on a very positive perspective and experience with network marketing. When I had an opportunity to move back to the East Coast, which is where I wanted to live closer to my family, because my father was ill at the time, Princess House was the doorway for that. And someone that I knew from J. Crew, Jim Northrup, was part of the ownership and investor group. I know you know Jim as well. At Princess House. So he knew the work that I'd done at J. Crew, and he sought me out to come help him with what he was trying to turn around or turning around there. And I spent years working there. And then I had an opportunity to advance my scope and my career and support a really bigger business in more of the commodity sales versus product sales of Excel and telecommunications.
Right. Well, I want to call out Laura, like I always try to do when I can find and isolate what was the power line that the first person used to successfully ever compel you to get involved in network marketing. And I like to call those out because I've interviewed thousands and thousands of very successful people, and I always try to find out, what did the person that prospected you say that had you say yes? Because my experience is 99.9% of what is said to people is not anything any of us would ever teach, but it works anyway. So your sponsor in Beauty Control said, how would you like to save some money on your products and share them with other people?
Right.
Wow. That's like really powerful.
I was easy. I liked the products. I liked her. I trusted her. So, that's the magic of it.
That's what matters. And so I just want to encourage all of you out there listening, Yes, you can get better and better and better with your offer, what you say to people, but the difference between not talking to something and saying something to them that's not quite polished and not quite textbook effective, the difference between not talking and talking is like a quantum leap. Like you can't even compare it, right? Because what do you get from not talking? You get nothing. And what do you get from talking? Well, you get Laura Evans on your team. Even if you say, how'd you like to save some money and share the products? Whoa, wow, that sounds really exciting. All right, so you were corporate, and then let's see, I'll fill in the gaps for you on this. So, you know, things, interesting things happened at Excel, and Shackley ended up buying the Excel sales organization, didn't they? And is that how you ended up corporate Shackley?
It wasn't buying as much as it was Roger had wanted me to come. Roger Barnett, the owner of Shackley, had met me through Marjorie Fine and the Direct Selling Association. And he, before he even bought Shackley, he was looking for who his management team would be. And I was in his sights as somebody he wanted to come work for him. And I said no, because I was not interested in relocating. I was pregnant at the time, and I was not interested in relocating to California from Texas. And he said, can I stay in touch with you? And he did. A lot of times we say it and we don't, but he did. Wow. And every time he called me for several months, he made me feel like I was missing out on something. Every time he called me, he said, oh, you know, I just got back from the largest, you know, conference ever. And the only piece that's missing is you. And I just did this and it was big. And the only piece that was missing is you. And, you know, for months, I had my baby, I was on maternity leave, and these calls were still happening. And it developed a relationship of rapport between us. I began to get to know him and his family. He began to get to know me. We talked business about, you know, our each different businesses and what we were facing. But I developed a trust with him. So when everything kind of went south with Excel and with the telecommunications industry, and we were being, you know, raided, Roger called and said, well, now you need a job, so come work for me. And I said, you know what, yeah, maybe, but I'm sort of want to, you know, go back to the ranch and lick my wounds. I'm sort of emotionally traumatized from all of this, but I know a bunch of good people, and I want those good people to have a good home. And I trust you, and I trust what I know about Shackley as a company of integrity, and I want those people. So Roger and I called them and did a business presentation together to our top 250 leaders who made the choice to transition from.
Okay, got it. All right. I got those facts wrong. That's beautiful. Okay. Well, this is a great opportunity for me to put on record. I would be remiss if I didn't put on record in this interview. Because I think, Laura, you're the first Shackley, maybe I've interviewed Carolyn Reitman as on a hero call, but you're either the first or second Shackley distributor I've ever interviewed. And I have a fond history for Shackley because, well, first of all, I love history in network marketing, and no company has more history in network marketing than Shackley, and fantastic, great history. But I'll never forget the first time I met Roger when he appeared at a Direct Selling Association, I believe annual meeting, as the new owner of Shackley. And I looked at this guy and sized him up, and I thought, wow, you know, he's one of the beautiful people. He's like a model looking guy, you know, he's like good photography. And then he talked, and I thought, wow, this guy's articulate. He's believable. He's authentic. And then they talked about his, you know, his background, you know, an investment banker and billions in net worth. And he probably doesn't like me talking about that, but, and then Harvard MBA and Yale Law. How's that for a package of pedigree? And then to hear his story about, well, you know, why did he buy Shackley? Is it like an investment, like so many other investors are just trying to buy a network marketing company? No, he picked up and moved. I mean, within a month of him buying Shackley, I was in his home in Manhattan which is, I mean, I was at a dinner with like 20 other people in this home, which was, you look out the window and Tiffany's is right on the corner. I don't remember what the address is, but this was a highfalutin Manhattan three-story flat. And he gave that up. He gave up his New York life and he moved to San Francisco. And he didn't just buy Shaklee, he became Shaklee. He immersed himself totally in the vision of network marketing. And it was so exciting for me to have somebody with that kind of mainstream wealth and credibility and connections and education. And then, you know, to have them show up and he's so articulate and so inspirational and so believable. And he's not only buying Shaklee, he's diving in to become Shaklee. It was like, it's one of the high points in my 42-year career in network marketing. And I've paid very close attention to what he's done and always had, you know, great expectations for what he's doing with Shaklee. So it's fascinating to hear the story about how he recruited you. And so, but we want to get to your build. So mm-hmm. you spent 10 years as the in charge of sales at Shaklee Corporate. We'll just fast forward to that. You don't want to tell any of those stories. That's all corporate stuff. So how did you end up transitioning from that to, and you know, all the perks and all the security and the salary and the overrides, and how do you go from that into the abyss of starting from scratch as a distributor? Tell me that story.
I've been a student and an admirer of the industry for years. And I just love how the industry empowers ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And I've seen that happen over and over again. And I just had this strong feeling that things were out of balance for me, that my priorities for my life were not in balance, that my life had become my work. And I had 4 children and a family that I cared about. And I was missing out on being present with them and missing out on moments that I could never recapture with them. So I had gone through some personal health transformation. I'd lost about 40 pounds and went from a size 10 to a size 2. And I mean, size 2 had never been in my closet since I was a toddler, let me tell you. I mean, all my friends and family outside, you know, my outside circle looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" Because they know that I'm the person that struggled with my weight. I've lost it and gained it. I've read every book. I've tried everything. And finally, I did something that stuck. And so that really was a catalyst for me to start thinking, wow, I'm a walking billboard for this. And yes, I can build it for Roger and for Shaklee, or I could build it for myself and my family. And I made the decision then. But it was about a 3-year time frame from when I made the decision to when I had everything in place in terms of our finances in place and my exit plan and my exit strategy in place. And I told Roger, I'm going to leave and I'm going to become one of your top distributors. And he was thrilled, wow. Not thrilled that I was leaving, but very, very happy, of course. I mean, what a great PR for the company as well. And and he's always been extremely supportive and encouraging to me.
So I got to ask you I trust that you'll get the intention of this question. So in your first year, according to your stats, correct me if I'm wrong, you personally enrolled 120 people?
Right. Mm-hmm. About 10 a month.
Wow. Now that is like lightning speed. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't even teach people to enroll that many people because one of the things I want to know is how did you take care of them? But that is an amazing enrollment pace. So I want to know how you do it, how you did it. And then I want you to add this twist to it, Laura, if you don't mind me being candid. When it comes to financial opportunities in network marketing, like if you were to lay out, you know, the top 20 financial opportunities in network marketing to network marketers, not to the public, but to network marketers, Shaklee might not be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is they just don't, I mean, they're a very legacy company, been around forever, very product focused, very credibility focused, but nobody's swinging from the chandeliers in any Shaklee meetings about the financial opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. There's no hysteria, there's no hype, mm-hmm. there's no, you know, Shaklee's the fastest growing company in the history of whatever. Mm-hmm. So how did you do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first I would say that I came into building my business and the decision that I made to build a business, I made the decision I'm going to be at the top rank of Shaklee. And I am, you know, working towards that right now. But I didn't make a decision that I'm going to play around with this. I'm going to have $1,000 a month income. I had a six-figure income to replace. And I had years of training. I wouldn't say that I was an overnight success story, although it might appear so on paper. I've had years of preparation. I can remember back when I was working at J. Crew, I was listening to cassette tapes of Tony Robbins. You know, personal development has been something that has enriched my life and I've sought out for decades. So I already had that fertile soil, if you will, of confidence and vision of where I was going. I drew out a chart. I'm so used to org charts. You know, you can take the girl out of corporate, but not corporate out of me. And so I drew an org chart of what my organization will look like. And I've updated a couple of times since then. And so I had that really foundation that's very strong. So all it was a matter of for me was action. And I mean, Richard, you know, somebody running a sales organization in this business, you're already working 70 hours a week. You know, I mean, you're always on call, you're always traveling. So working hard was not a stretch for me. I mean, I was fine with sitting down and making 20 calls a day. I wished I would have had that time in corporate America to get away from meetings and sit at my desk and make 20 calls a day. So now that I had my own business and I was able to work from home, I was able to schedule my work around my family events, and I could do work meetings and events there. It didn't scare me. I was ready to hustle and ready to make it happen.
So it was that your plan, 20 hours, 20 calls a day?
Yes, that's okay. About what I like to do. And, I, you know, not every day, you know, weekends I'll take off. And I also am a big believer in any kind of gathering. You know, if I can gather people at a small group meeting, at a coffee shop or an in-home event, or if I can do a Facebook event, I like multimedia everything.
So. Yeah, I got it. Okay. So I kind of want to drill down on the 20 calls a day, and I want to map that onto a plan that I have been teaching people for a few years, which is one invite a day. Mm-hmm. If they'll just do one invite a day for 90 days, they will have done more work than 99.9% of the people in their company in the last 90 days. People wonder, you know, well, why do most people fail in network marketing? Well, it's not because their company goes out of business, and it's not because there's something wrong with the model. It's because they don't do the work, and it's not because they're not capable. They're just not motivated to do the work. So if people listen to you and they listen to how you went about it, I mean, it was a 3-year vision. You planned mm-hmm. for it, and you know, you created your org chart, and you created a vision. Which is not, a vision is not like, oh, I hope I get to be the top distributor in Shaklee. It's a decision. That's inevitable. And that's the quality of a vision, or true vision, is that it's inevitable. And that's the way you held it. And then you actually went and did the work. So I want to kind of try to map the two on. If you did 20 calls a day, how many of those people would you get to actually ask to take a look at Shaklee? And you would get a response, if you could just guess. What percentage did you get in a conversation with?
I would say that probably around 8 out of 20.
Wow.
8 out of 20 I could get into a conversation with and invite them to take a look.
So that's how you enrolled 120 people your first year. It's not magic. You just did 8 times the work that I'm asking people to do in that business plan. And so how many hours a day would you spend doing that?
I probably spent, I'd say maybe like 8 to 10 hours a day, but it didn't feel like work to me because I was at home and I was able to, you know, throw some clothes in the laundry while I make some phone calls or, you know, whatever. And I could work it around my schedule. You know, if I wanted to make those calls at night, and I try to be predictive about when people are going to be available. So Sunday nights are my best nights. In fact, I'll double up on time on Sunday nights, and I will tell my I'm locking myself in the room. I have a list of calls I'm going to make. Do not bother me, and I'm not coming out until I get these calls done. Because sometimes you got to do that. I would try to be strategic about when am I most likely to reach people. And I also use text message and Facebook Messenger as well, not to have the conversation, but to set up the conversation, to reach out and schedule a time to talk.
Okay, so people are going to want to know this. 20 people a day, 5 days a week, that's 100 people a week. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get the names?
Well, I looked at my contact list on my phone.
Right. Duh.
And my Facebook friends. And I had neglected my Facebook connections when I was working in corporate because between 500 emails a day and you know how that goes, I just couldn't get to social media. So once I became on my own business, I really started to cultivate those relationships and those connections. I became a better friend on Facebook to people, liking and commenting. I looked for people that I had in common. I mean, you know, I've spent 25 years working. There's a lot of people that I've worked with, people that I went to school with, friends of friends, just cultivating those connections. And the conversations were always about them, not about me. And that's one of the things that if I can share, that I really learned to do differently. You know, in corporate America, I was the boss. Everybody came to me and asked me, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to do it? And as much as I tried to empower people and give people authority to make decisions on things, at the end of the day, I was directing a lot of what needed to go on. And that was a hard habit to break and not one that lends to success in this business. You know, people don't want to be told what to do. And I learned that quickly. And instead, I learned, thanks to my mentors and teachers that helped me learn about the business, and I learned how to ask questions and how to ask more questions and how to compliment and ask more questions and ask more questions. And Richard, I was so bad at that skill. I had such a fallback of habit of, you know, I would ask somebody a question and I'd answer it before they could answer it. I had to write down for myself, ask this, you know, pause, ask this, pause, wait for an answer.
That's funny. That's
eventually,
crazy.
Eventually, and I mean, you know, I'm hardcore committed to this. Eventually, I had started writing on my wrist a question mark to remind me when I was making calls or when I was in one-on-one meetings. It was a little reminder to me to ask questions. Don't jump to tell, ask questions. And a couple of years ago, I made it legit and got it tattooed on my wrist. But,
show me. I can't see it. Let me see it. I can't see it. Oh my gosh. I've never seen that, Laura. What a great idea.
And it's a great deduction.
Yeah, of course it is. I'm curious, are there any mentors that taught you these philosophies that jump out?
Well, within our company, my sponsor, Roland Osterhaus, and Carolyn Whiteman, who you know very well, they have been teaching this for 40 years. And you know, when I looked to leave the company, I didn't look to go learn from somebody that was struggling as a director. I looked to learn from somebody that was where I wanted to be. And they are where I wanted to be. So that's who I learned from. And I've been a student of the industry for so long. I've sat in so many meetings and picked up and took notes and listened and read books that I learned it along the way.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I want to ask you about something here in your stats. So. Year two, Laura, You backed off a little bit on personal enrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you didn't. Second year, you also enrolled about 10 people a month.
Right.
And so after 4 years, 300 people personally sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years have you been doing this?
4 years. This is my fourth year.
Oh, my gosh. Have you crushed the four-year career or what? You have 87,000 people on your team.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting.
How many generations of people can you track?
Through our system, I'm only able to see six generations of people.
You know how many generations you have?
I want to say about 15.
I love that. It's geometric progressions. And well, I'm looking at your sales and so I can approximate your income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've built a business that's worth about $6 million, maybe $10 million in 4 years. Mm-hmm. Wow. How's that for wealth building? So what do you do now? Are you hard charging as much now, or how are you leading, encouraging, inspiring your team? How are you coaching the people on your team to do what you've done? Any particular tips you want to share there?
Well, I certainly, as the team grew, my personal enrollments changed more to working in depth with the team and helping create leaders. And that's something that I really love to do. We connect with coaching calls. We plug into regular training events. I have recorded training content that I share with the team, either through our Facebook group that we have or live Zoom events that we do. We are beginning, and Richard, I'm so thankful for this. We are beginning at the beginning stages and actively ramping up of sharing the four-year career book. We've got the anniversary edition and the master's edition. And I want to tell you, the other day we were on a call and you mentioned something about 90 contacts in 90 days. And I mean, there's nothing like a challenge to light my fire. And so I decided I'm going to do that. I'm a big believer in setting an example. I don't ever want to ask anyone in my team to do something that I'm not willing to do. And that's how I was at corporate America too. That's just how I respond to people. And so I'm already, within a couple of weeks, I'm at 25. I'm at 25.
Wow.
Books that I've been able to introduce people to. And that does not include my existing leaders, because that wouldn't be fair. So I didn't count any of my existing leaders. I'm only talking about people that are customers that are not distributors or not in the business at all. So I'm super excited. I'm on my way, 90 and 90.
So you've got 25 books out?
Yes.
Wow. And have any of those people read the book yet?
I had one person who I met in Uber who had lost his job, and I used that as an opportunity to tell him about the book that I was studying, and I didn't even have the book on me. Mistake number one. Thank you for reminding me for that. When he brought me to the hotel, I had to ask him if he'd wait for me to run upstairs and grab it and bring it back.
Yeah, I've done that too.
So I did that, and I figured, hey, if he waits, that's at least a good sign. It's warm.
Right.
And anyway, so I did that. Long story short, I have followed up with him since then, and he said that he has looked at the book, and I know he has a need for this because of what we talked about, and I know he has an interest in it, in what we talked about. He said it's not the right time for him, and I said, that's okay. Can we stay in touch?
That's beautiful.
And even that Father's Day and other events, I'm going to be in touch with him, because I don't know about everybody else listening, but I know so many people, including myself, that if someone had have stopped the first time, it wouldn't have gone anywhere else. And
right.
So I always have a long-term view of exposures to customers.
So can you tell us a couple of success stories, Laura, about people that you approached? Like, I'm visualizing you're dialing one of these 20 people a day you're calling, and you connected and you cast the vision and you were curious, and maybe they put you off for a while, maybe they got involved right away, but they're one of your best success stories in the last 4 years. Can you tell us a story about somebody that maybe is one of your best rising stars on your team?
Sure. You know, one of them, I've got a couple of them that come to mind right away. And one of them is has been a teacher for more than almost 20 years. And it was actually her husband that introduced her to the concept of the business as well as the products. And then he referred her to me, and we connected and talked. And she's had an opportunity to transition from a full-time teaching career to create an income, to create a group of connections and kind of a community that she really didn't have when she was just full-time teaching. So it's been, as well as a health transformation for herself. And she's traveled for free. She's working on a car bonus payment and just a lot of good things for her like that. That's one of them. Do you want to hear the second one?
I do.
Okay. The second one is actually in depth. One of my first level leaders is 80 years old. And she has some people in her community and in her contacts that she's been working with. And this one young lady has 7 children and was looking for, she'd been running a daycare business and some regulatory things changed. And she decided she needed to get out of the daycare business. It was no longer going to be profitable for her. So we had a chance to connect at an introduction. I was doing a training event in New York, and she had a newborn baby who didn't have a passport yet from Canada, and she made the trip to get to New York, despite the fact that she booked her flight, she got turned away at the gate because the child didn't have a passport yet. She had to run and go get a passport, come back and rebook a flight. She went to that much effort. And now she and her husband have developed a successful organization, completely replaced the income she was earning from her daycare business, able to spend time with her children, traveled on 2 different leadership conferences, including an all expense paid trip to Mexico recently, and working towards just doubling their business this next year.
Wow. See, that's what makes it all worthwhile, right? When a conversation, maybe it takes 2 or 3 or 4 years to unfold, but it unfolds in a beautifully transformed life, that makes all the no's and all the maybes and all the people that make promises and then don't keep them, makes it all worth it, right?
Yes.
So tell us, this is one of my classic questions. What's in the last 4 years, what's the biggest mistake you've made? Maybe you made it habitually. Maybe you made it one great big blunder. And it doesn't have to be a business building mistake directly. It could be a mistake around balance or health or integrity or relationship or communication, or it could just be a strategic business building mistake. Have you made a big mistake?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I've made big mistakes. You know, I already talked about my learning curve in learning how to ask questions and how to be in the moment and get to know people and to not be so, you know, pushy as a salesperson and make it more about the relationship. And I would have to say that I'm not one that lives with regrets. I don't really think about regrets, but I know I could have done this sooner if I'd had a little bit more courage to do it sooner. You know, I was not the kind of person that was able to build my business while I was working, because I made the decisions about the comp plan and so forth for the company I was working for. So that took some courage for me to build up to say, I'm going to go from a check to maybe no check. And, you know, to some extent, I wish I would have done that sooner. I missed out on things with my kids. I'm mom for 20 years before I went on the first field trip with my children. You know,
wow.
So it was that I would say for sure. But I would say one thing that I'm very aware of that I've learned throughout the years, and it's a constant decision I have to check myself on, and I think we all do, is where I spend my time. And spending time with those who I want it for them more than they want it for themselves is a waste of time. And I'm very, I guess I'm very aware and very conscientious of, I want to spend 80% of my time on new growth and development, not the 80% of the people that are always asking me or needing help, but never doing anything with it or getting anywhere with it. So I try to be very regimented about that.
Yeah, that's beautiful, beautiful lesson. And, you know, I think one of the things that helps, it helps people do that is if you have too few people in the pipeline, you tend to feel like, well, I've got to jump through every hoop any one of them asked me to jump through. Whereas if you have a lot of people in the pipeline, you tend to naturally gravitate more to the ones that are doing something. So, and that's, you know, that's a huge mistake that we've all made, is just chasing people around and paying attention to what they say instead of watching their feet. Don't watch people's mouth, watch their feet.
Yes.
If they do what they say they're going to do, you got somebody worth working with. So, Laura, what's the future for you? Like, what's over the next 4 or 5 years? Are you resting? Are you coasting? Are you relaxing? Are you building? And if so, like, what's your motive? What's your vision for the next 4 or 5 years?
I'm building. And the reason I'm building is I had such a fear of missing out. I had FOMO. You know, I saw all the trends for our industry, for network marketing and for our type of products headed in an upward angle. And rather than me building the dream for someone else, I wanted it for my family. So I am building. And I changed, I guess, my motivation through this. You know, once I hit a replacement of my career income and I was like, you know, I hit that. Once I achieved that, it really became less about replacing a six-figure income and more about becoming a six-figure giver. And I made a bold decision this year of being a six-figure giver. And I took it so far because I believe in matching your vision with your actions. So I thought, what can I do that'll scare me? And I sat down with my checkbook and I identified the 5 charities that I wanted to give enough money to add up to 6 figures this year too. And I wrote those checks out to them. And I held it. I held it for a little bit. But I have it on my bulletin board. And boy, you know, your heart races when you start writing checks for that kind of amount and you're not really sure where that money's going to come from. That's where I'm headed, Richard. That's where we're headed as a team and as an organization, and we've got a lot of good things planned.
Yeah, there's just a whole brain transformation that happens when we go into giving mode, right? We just we start to attract abundance, and we get to explore a motive that's way beyond what we get, and yet givers do get. Right? Givers get to explore abundance. So, Laura, people out there listening to this hero call all over the world, there'll be a lot more people listening to this hero call next month, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. Probably a lot more people in developing countries that are just getting a foothold in network marketing than there will even be in the United States or North America listening to this call. And as you know, most of those people will be looking at their opportunity and looking at network marketing and asking the question, can they do it? Can they even get to that $1,000 a month mark? Can they do what you've done, or can they do what they want to do? So if you were one-on-one with any of these people, maybe they're listening live today, maybe they're going to listen next week, maybe it's 5 years from now they happen to stumble on your hero call, and you know, it's calls like this that change it all for people. They just listen to a call and it changes it all. So if you were speaking one-on-one to one of those people, they have all their hopes and dreams wrapped up in their opportunity, but they're afraid and they second guess themselves and they're not sure, but they really want it. if you had a minute or two to talk to them, what would you say to them?
Well, I know exactly what I would say to them. I would say you have to be able to visualize it. You have to see and take a sheet of paper and draw out. I run into so many times people say, I'm going to be a such and such. And I ask, well, what does that look like? Well, you're not really believing it if you can't see it. And if you're not able to see yourself being that, I maybe because I'm geographically challenged and, you know, GPS and maps have been really helpful for me. I'm accustomed to needing a map and wanting to map things out. But that's the thing that I would say is sit down and identify what step forward 5 years from now. And what is your organization that you build going to look like? And then let's back into the next steps of a year from now, the next 90 days, and how we're going to get there from here. But if you're not able to see that and put, as my mentor says, more details on the future than the present, if you're not able to do that and know, you know, what you're going to be doing, what amount of money you're going to be making, where it's coming from, what you're going to say when you walk across stage, what you're going to wear, if you're not able to see yourself there, we've got some other work to do on the thinking. And on the thinking, is which is the most important part. It's not the technique, it's the thinking. How you can believe that you can see yourself there. That's what I would say.
Yeah, beautiful. I heard it said this way recently. If I ask you where you're going to be in 5 years and you're not sure, then you're already there.
Yeah. Very good.
And you got to think, about that a little bit.
Yeah.
You mean, what do you mean I'm already there? I mean, you're already there. Wherever you think you might be in 5 years, if you don't know, if you can't articulate it, you're already there. Think about that. So, Laura, you want to play musical chairs and wrap this up? You don't get to think about it unless you probably have to listen to a lot of hero calls to know. I might turn the tables on you and ask you if you have a question for me as we wrap this up.
I would love to know, Richard, and I enjoy your books. I love Mach 2 as well, and the vision casting and how you lay that out. But I would like to ask you the same question of, you know, 5 years from now, where do you see what you're doing and what would you like to be accomplishing with it?
Well, I have, you know, two things going on. My wife and I are building our own organization, and we're new to our company. We sold our company to a very large old legacy network marketing company. And so we're like climbing the ladder, like we're building a team again. And so that's lots of fun. And we have like 2 or 3 years of intense work to do to get to the top. And why do we want to get to the top of that company? Because, you know, we're going to carry so many people with us, and that just creates so many stories. We don't really need the income, but we need the stories. What motivates me to keep doing this, I've been doing it full time for 42 years, is the stories. And I just love the stories. I'm just hooked on, you know, just like those two stories you told, you know, people that you met on the golf course, or you met them in an Uber, or you met them on an airplane, or they're an old high school buddy, and you just had the courage to connect with them. That's like the essence of the difference between people that make it and people that don't make it. It lives right in that moment of, are you willing to connect with people or not? And it might be somebody sitting next to you on an airplane. It might be somebody, you know, even sitting at a table next to you in a restaurant that you don't know. And something happens and there is an opportunity to connect and you don't connect. Like your story is, oh, that would be, I don't know, you make up some story about how you just shouldn't say anything to them. Like, I don't know, maybe you're operating out of don't talk to strangers from when you were 3 years old. But the difference from people that make it in network marketing and don't make it, I believe, exists right in that nanosecond opportunity every day to connect with people, whether they're on social media or you know, people that are in your phone, you know, the people that succeed in network marketing, they go through their phone and they reach out and they talk to people that they know. And the people that don't make it, they don't do that. And so I love the stories from inception, from that first connection, from maybe I reached out and talked to somebody I hadn't talked to in 20 years, or maybe I just asked somebody that I wouldn't normally ask, hey, can we talk about this? Or maybe I, you know, like my favorite thing to do every, almost every day is I do two things now to connect with people. So Kimmy and I normally go on a hike. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hour hike. We go up to this big, you know, cliff above the ocean, and there's a Four Seasons right here. So there's always somebody up on the cliff that's, you know, exploring for the first time, and it's usually a couple. And so, you know, my shtick is I go up to them and I say, would you like for me to take a picture? Because they're always trying to take a selfie, and they always say yes. And so I take a picture and, oh, they're so thankful. And then I just ask them where they're from, and maybe it goes somewhere and maybe it doesn't. But what I live for is the story of that connection all the way to, you know, they're making 10, 20 grand a month 5 years later. And my other stick is I drive around in the golf cart, which you guys probably do in your community, and people are always walking around. They're kind of lost. They don't know where. Sometimes they're going up a hill, and I just offer people rides in the golf cart. Then I got them for like 5 or 10 minutes. So we're building our own team for those stories. And then in Bliss Business, what I am dedicated to is a crusade to teach network marketers how to network and how to market differently. Because unfortunately, the number one thing that stops us really all from achieving our dreams, besides ourselves, our own story, is the story of the marketplace. Mm-hmm. The story of the people we're talking to is they don't understand network marketing, multi-level marketing, direct selling, whatever you want to call it. They don't understand it. You know, if you've ever watched a Super MLM episode, I ask people, you know, what do you think it is? They say it's Starbucks, it's Nordstrom's, it's AT&T, it's Netflix. They don't have any idea what we do. And then if you tell them, oh, well, it's like Amway. Oh, now they understand exactly what we do, and they don't want to do it, right? Why don't they want to do it? Well, because for 70 years, we've just been, as a profession, obnoxiously desperate and deceptive and hypey. And we've deceived people. And people, you know, we've invited people. We haven't. You and I haven't. But other people, you know, come on over for dinner. And, you know, and then out comes the whiteboard. And, you know, what is that? That's just so foolish. And so I'm dedicated to teaching people how to do it differently, to do it authentically, to do it. I believe you can make $1 million a year as a network marketer and never sign up for any sales class, any of that stuff, any of that garbage, and just trust your intuition and trust your authenticity. And as you say, be curious about people. And if you're curious, you're not talking, you're not telling, you're asking questions. Curious people don't tell. Curious people ask questions. And then if they're really, truly curious, when people are answering the questions, they're actually listening. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on a crusade to change the way people do it. And when I leave this planet and leave network marketing, my vision is that if somebody somewhere in the world asks a prospect to take a look, and they get close enough in the conversation where the prospect gets the idea, okay, this might be network marketing. Instead of saying, oh, you mean like that company, what they'll say is, oh, you mean like Shaklee. So it's not a, oh, you mean like, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you mean like, mm-hmm. and they understand how the model works, and they know people who are successful. And the last five times they've been approached, maybe they didn't get in, but they were honored and respected in the conversation, and it changed their perception of who we are and what we do. And maybe they've even read a four-year career, so they understand what it is and what it isn't. And wow, imagine what we could build as a profession if most of the people we talked to really understood what network marketing was, and the last four or five people to talk to them did us the service of changing their perception of who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I'm doing.
Very good. Very good. Well, sign me up for that crusade. I'm on board with that. I'm on board with that too.
Hey, Laura, it's been a immense pleasure. I look forward to getting to know you better. You have such phenomenal background. I mean, all those people out there that are on our list that are corporate America that have worked for the big, beautiful companies, your story ought to be used by everybody to, you know, help cast the vision that you don't have to spend your whole career in corporate America. You can escape if you want to, and you can build an equal or greater income from home, surrounded by your children and your laundry.
That's
and
right.
You can have fun.
That's right. Lots of fun, for sure. For sure. Well, thank you, Richard. It's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I enjoy listening to the podcast too.
Beautiful. All right. Hey, gang, thank you all for joining us on this Facebook Live. This will be posted soon, so you can share it if you haven't already. Have a fantastic whatever day it is in your world. Over and out.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Richard Bliss Brooks' Network Marketing Heroes podcast. If you are inspired and are ready to create your own success story, then it is time to take advantage of some of the top network marketing tools available. Pick up the top recruiting tool that has prospects saying yes, the four-year career and the four-year career for women. Get your mindset right. Without a clear vision, success is lost. Check out the best-selling book on vision, Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire. Learn to think like a successful person with this step-by-step guide on how to break through your self-imposed limitations. Mach 2 Vision Training is a 90-minute, four-part video training where you get Richard to walk you through crafting your vision. It's a must for anyone looking to step outside the box and hit the ground running. For 10% off your order, use the discount code HERO at checkout. If you're serious about building your business, make sure to subscribe to Richard's blog for all the latest tools and articles. This success story is not typical. It is meant to inspire you and show you what's possible. It is not what you should expect to accomplish. Your income will depend entirely on you, your commitment, your work ethic, your leadership, and your ability to acquire customers and inspire sales leaders to join your team. Most people who start off intending to build a sales team do not maintain their motivation to continue.